Today, we're going to kick off a new series in Philippians. You got your Bibles? Pull them out. If you don't, pull out the Burgundy Bible in front of you and follow along with us. Each summer, we pick a book of the Bible, and we go from beginning to end of that book, and we preach verse by verse. This year, we picked Philippians, which is a great book for encouragement. Paul's writing to his friends in a place called Philippi. It's southeastern Europe. And it was one of the first places that the church went in Europe before it began to spread all throughout Europe. And Philippians, we're going to start in chapter 1. Now, if you don't have your own Bibles, you pull out the Burgundy Bible. We're on page 983 in the Burgundy Bible. And we're going to be going, like I said, verse by verse, just kind of walking through it this summer and giving you a little better understanding of what it looks like. Now, in this city of Philippi, the Romans had conquered that city, but instead of doing what they normally do, like they did in Israel or different places where they would then establish a rule over it and make the people pay taxes, they actually made the city of Philippi a Roman colony, which gave it the rights of Roman citizenship, gave them non-taxation. So a lot of retiring Roman soldiers and folks would move there. And so it was a little bit of a unique city. The church began in a lady's home named Lydia. Lydia came to know Christ, and she was a seller of purple cloth. And they began meeting in her home, and it began to grow from there. Now, Paul apparently just really had a great relationship with this church because he doesn't have any rebukes coming their way. He's not having to tell them to change some of the things they're doing like he did in other books, such as Corinthians, or like he had to refute some bad theology like he did in Galatians. But this book really is a great book for encouragement, just saying, keep on keeping on, way to go team. So it's a fun book to preach through, and I'm glad we're getting to do that this summer. So Jimmy read chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. If you got your Bibles, like I said, I hope you'll turn there, and you'll see immediately we hear the word joy. And in the book of Philippians, you'll hear that 11 to 12 times based on your translation. Rejoice or be joyful or find joy. And it's part of the idea behind this book is the joy of the Lord, which is interesting when you consider the guy who wrote this book. His name's Paul, and he's writing this book from being in prison. And he's constantly reminding them of the joy that he has, even in the place that he's at. And he'll later on talk about how even though he's in prison, God is using that time in prison to reach people in the Roman guard, and how all of them there know of his faith. So pretty cool story. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll jump in. Lord, I just thank you so much. I thank you, God, that you call us partners in the ministry. I thank you, Lord, that you invite us to be on your team. Lord, I know in this room we got folks that, man, some folks have had really bad weeks. Some have had great weeks. Some have been cutting out of lumber and trees, and others it didn't even affect at all. But I pray today, Lord, that everyone will understand today how great it is to be a part of your team, and how we are partners with you in your love for this world. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's just start with verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. So the first thing, if you got your listening guide, you can pull out your little bulletin in there. There's a listening guide to follow along. First thing is, let us be thankful and pray for one another. Let's be thankful and pray for one another. Paul begins by greeting them, and it's an unusual greeting for Paul because Paul usually says, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul identifies himself. And oftentimes, I believe that's because he's trying to help them establish the fact that he's a leader, and there's some things messed up in their church, and they need to make some changes. In this one, he calls himself and Timothy a servant, and in this translation, it says a slave of Jesus Christ. So he's showing them that he's a follower, that he's on their own playing field, that he's a part of their team, and they're a part of his team. And then he goes on to list all of the believers. And so he thanks God for all of them. And then also the leaders and the deacons. Now, some translations say elders and deacons. Now, in the early church, Paul established two groups of leaders in the church. There was the elders, which would be the leader of the church, those that are responsible for things like vision, church discipline, making sure that people are staying according to the doctrine of the Bible, those kind of things. And then the deacons of the church. And the word deacon actually means servant. And so the deacon's role was to serve the local body. The prototype for that was in early Acts when the deacons served the needs of the widows that were there, the Greek widows, and they ministered to the widows. And so in our church, we have elders and we have deacons. And we have seven elders. And the role of the elders is to lead with vision, but it also provides accountability for me. There are seven of us on the elder team, and I'm one vote amongst seven. And so they have the authority, if I'm stepping out of line, to speak into my life, and if I'm stepping way out of line, to have me step down. We set that structure up in the beginning of the church because I've just seen too many churches that kind of went personality-driven, and the pastor kind of became a king instead of a shepherd. And I know that can become a temptation. And so we set it up so we've got a team of elders. And let me tell you, I'm so grateful for that team. Mature men of God who choose the word of God over their own preferences and desires. And half of those are from within the staff, and half of those are from within the body of the believers here at the church. And then we have a team of deacons. We got about 18 to 20 deacons, and these are our men that take care of the care ministry of our church, hospital visitations, widow ministry. They serve at the communion tables. They take care of the physical needs of the flock. And if you are a member of the church, you've gotten a letter, an invitation to that if you ever have a need to call a deacon to come and be with you and pray with you. If I went to everybody that went into the hospital at the river, I would spend my whole time there. I would just have to get a little cot and stay at the river at the Cookeville Hospital or Vanderbilt some days or Centennial. And so we've got a team of people that do that. And they work as a team with their wives to minister to the men and the women of the church. Just very grateful for those two teams, for the elders and deacons. So I just want to say thanks. Thanks to those that serve in those capacities. Yeah, thank you. Amen. And then we have life group leaders. Those that are in life group, you know the importance of your life group leaders. They know you better than I know you. They know when your kid's going in the hospital. They know when your child's going off to college. They know when you're struggling with job loss or financial challenges. They're there for you. And so life group leaders are the backbone, really, when it comes to ministering to all those folks in the body. They're in small groups. And I'm so grateful for life group leaders and grateful for that as far as a leadership team goes. And so I could totally relate to what Paul's saying here, that he's thankful. And then I would say to you, grace and peace to you. For those that are serving the Lord, grace and peace over you. Enjoy the grace of the Lord and the peace of the Lord as you serve. And know that you're not doing it for man, but you're doing it for God. Know that your rewards may not ever come here on earth, but they will come in heaven. Know that those little two-year-olds that you chase around the classroom may never look up and say thank you, but in heaven I think they'll hunt you down and say, you were my teacher when I was two, and I'm thankful. It takes all of us. It takes all of us, and I'm grateful for everybody's sacrifices, for those who serve as partners in this body. And that's just point number two. We are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Partners. Not minions, not employees, not second-class citizens. There's not this hierarchy of more importance in the kingdom of God of those that are pastors or worship leaders or Sunday school teachers or life group leaders. We're all partners in this. And I have people come to me all the time. They say, Pastor, I just don't think I can do anything in the church. I said, why not? Well, I can't preach and I can't sing. And really, that's like one of the smallest parts of the church. Really, if you're a really good preacher, I probably don't want you around very long because you'll take my job. You know, so We joke about that all the time because we have multiple people preach. Matter of fact, over the summer, you'll get to hear most of our pastors preach a sermon over the summer because everybody is gifted and everybody's got a fresh word. And so this summer series is a great time that we let different folks preach. And yet what I want you to know is that if you're out front welcoming people in the parking lot ministry, you're partners with the gospel. If you're the person taking care of those babies with the poopy diapers, man, you're a vital part of the ministry. Let me just say, how many parents are grateful for those ladies, right? Those men, right? That take care of the kids, amen? I'm very grateful. And I've had some of my kids went to church really happy sometimes, and some of them went kicking and screaming as little babies. Some of them wanted mama a little bit longer, and some of them broke my wife's heart because she'd put them down and they just take off running and never look back. Every kid's different. But we're all partners in this. And I'm grateful for the folks that partner with their generous giving. I'm grateful whether you're tithing off minimum wage, whether you're tithing off multi-millions. I'm grateful whether you're trusting God with your tithes and your offerings every week. I'm grateful. Because of your giving, we get to make a difference in our community. We're going to look at some things later on of things that we get to do and bless our community. This morning, we had a gentleman here from when we did the car care ministry. We passed out information all over the city, inviting people that had issues with their cars, and he showed up. He's been at the church every Sunday since then and was just grateful that folks loved on him. And that's because you're being partners in the ministry. Verse 5 says this, "For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you heard it until now." We're partners. We work as a team. Now, as a church, we don't do plaques. If you ever walk around our church building, you'll notice there's no big plaque for people that gave money for the buildings. There's no big plaque that recognizes people who are in different positions in the church. Matter of fact, when we were doing something for Jeff's funeral, we were trying to get a picture of the elders, and we couldn't find a picture of the elders because we just never take pictures. It's like we just do the ministry, and then we realize we don't have a picture with everybody together. And as a church, it's not about us as partners. It's about serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and giving the glory to Him. And I thank you because you get that. As a church, you get that. You're here. I mean, if you look around, you see people wearing these Fuse shirts. Those are people that voluntarily wear their shirt every week so that as they serve, the kids recognize the shirt even more than the person. And I'm confident that those aren't exactly fashion statements for you. And I understand that. And I'm grateful that you wear those shirts. But I'm also confident for the men that it's like, oh, good, I don't have to decide what I'm wearing. I'll just put this Fuse shirt on, right? Right, guys? Okay. So thank God for folks that want to partner together in ministry. That we got some stuff coming up this time. This in 2 weeks, we're having the car show coming up. I'm grateful for the guys that are volunteering on the car show. People who volunteer to greet people. People who volunteer to cook the lunch. People who volunteer to do the kids' games. It takes all of us doing something to make an impact. Matter of fact, over 300 volunteers are required every week to do the ministry that God's doing in and through the river. And that includes Freedom Ministry that ministers to folks that are dealing with their hurts, their habits, and their addictions. That includes our small group ministries. That includes our children's ministry, our youth ministries. It takes a lot of folks being the hands and feet of Jesus to make a difference. Now, when I talk about hands and feet of Jesus, that may sound kind of odd, but in talking to somebody one time, they're like, well, I can't see God. I can't touch God. How do I know He's real? And I heard the phrase one time, being the hands and feet of Jesus. It just made sense. It's like you are the Lord living Himself out in this world. You are being His hands as you serve those around you. You're being His feet as you go into the parks and the schools and your jobs. You're being the hands and the feet of Jesus as you serve in this community. And as Paul says, man, I give thanks for you. I'm grateful that we're partners. Now, some start as consumers and customers. Does that make sense? I did. I didn't grow up in church. And so when I first started growing to church, I was a customer. My idea was, what's in it for me, God? Coming to church, what's in it for me? As a kid, being invited to church, I'm like, do they have cool games? Can I play dodgeball? You know, those were important things for a 7 to 10 year old, you know. I wanted to know, do they have snack time? You know, what kind of Kool-Aid do you have? You know, important stuff. And then when I moved into the youth group, it was, hey, do you take trips? Do you go swimming? Do you get to do fun things as a youth group? Because those are the things that I went to church for, because I didn't know Jesus. I went to church for what I could get out of it. And then, in one of those occasions, when somebody had invited me and I came, I heard the good news of Jesus. I'd heard it plenty of times. People had told me about it plenty of times. But in that one moment, it clicked for me. In that one moment, I said, that is what I want. I do want this good news of Jesus. And in that moment, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I never turned back. And he changed my heart from the inside out. And I believe that that's his desire for all of us. And so just know, if we go in and serve, you know, if we do the Harvest Fest, if we do the Fall Fun Fest, sometimes I have people say, well, that's a lot of work. Did anybody come to church because of that? Well, you need to know that's not the goal. Our goal is to love people whether they ever come to church or not. Our goal is to love them whether they ever want to believe in God or not. Our goal is to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Guess what? There were a lot of people that never followed Jesus when he walked this earth. Matter of fact, some of them actually put him on a cross and nailed him there. They never said thank you. So just know that some folks will be interested, some folks will not. But we get a chance to partner with God, being his hands and feet. And sometimes you see a problem and you think it's, oh no, why did God do this? But sometimes those problems are opportunities. I tell you, a great testimony is this storm this last week. We had this big storm this last week, and I got out that morning and started cutting trees down, trying to cut trees off the road with my little tiny saw. I wasn't cutting trees. It was only a little brush, okay? It was branches of trees. And I'm cutting these things down. There's wires on the road, and got to get cut out to go to church. And then all of a sudden, the warrior showed up. You know, the Jim Foxes and guys with real chainsaws, and they start cutting us out. And my neighbors came outside, and I got to meet some of my neighbors for the first time. And they came out, and we started helping each other, and we ended up together between the church, folks from the church, and my neighbors clearing out 7 different yards, helping 7 different people. And then I didn't even know it. I'm sitting here telling this story this morning, and I look in the back, and 2 of my neighbors that I just really got to meet through this storm were sitting in the back 2 seats this Sunday. Yeah, isn't that cool? And afterwards they're like, hey, I'm glad you kind of mentioned us there. I was like, yeah, but I didn't call them out, so that was pretty good. But I was like, how awesome is that? You know, what looks like a problem is really an opportunity to make a difference in people's lives. And that's when you see that you're partnering with God, then when troubles come and hard times come and things that you really wrestle with, if you realize that God's in control, then you can kind of look at that and go, okay, God, if I got no electricity and I got no chainsaw, what does that mean for me? I can carry brush. I can go serve. I'm very thankful for the teams that went out Sunday and Monday and had a really cool opportunity on Monday. We got an invitation to go help a single mom and through Facebook. So I put it out on Facebook if anybody needs help. So we go to the single mom's house. We're cutting a tree off her roof and getting her set up. And she was just so gracious and so appreciative. And then we looked across the street and I said, well, who lives there? She said, well, that's so-and-so. He's in the guard. He's been out all weekend on duty. I said, really, you think he'd mind if we cleaned his yard up? She said, I don't think so. I said, well, we'll risk it. So we went over there and cut the tree off his yard and cut it all out. We take it out to the street. And then as we're doing that, across the street from him, this guy comes out. He's got this big tree that's fallen and half of it's still up. And he's got this little 20-inch, $99 chainsaw trying to cut through this thing. And, I mean, I didn't have a real saw, but these guys behind me did. You know, they've got these steel saws. Everybody's got their steel, their showing their orange and white colors there. They're going out. And I said, guys, let's go help this guy. So we go across the street, make short work of his stuff. And he's got this massive maple that there's no way he's ever going to cut the remaining thing of this thing down. And my buddy Raymond, who's my chainsaw fanatic, pulls out a 44-inch steel, baby. Yeah. I mean, you should have seen the covetousness on all the guys around me. I mean, I think they were all sinning with lust. You know, pulls that thing out and just whacks that big old maple down. And then the camaraderie that came with that. You know, and I would just say to you, when you jump in and you get involved, you become this partnership, and you end up partnering with folks that, man, you just didn't know before. And you get a chance to serve, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great opportunity. And I would just say to you, I can resonate with Paul when he says, I thank God for you. I thank God that I had people who showed up in my house and helped me cut my tree up. I'm thankful to have somebody come to me and say, hey, you know what? We don't have electricity at our house. But I read that post about helping our neighbors, and we figured we can't do anything here. So we got our chainsaws, and we went out Sunday morning and just started helping other folks. And they're naming all the people they got to help. And I was like, how cool is that? To be the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, three, God does the work in and through us. This is where we got to be careful. We can't begin to think, oh, it's me, it's me, it's me. I'm the one. God's lucky to have me on the team. You know, it's his lucky day. I showed up at church. I decided to help. It's his lucky day. No. And we can't look at that way as the river church either. We can't say, oh, look at the river. Look at us. Woohoo, right here, right here. No, we're part of a team. We're partners with all the churches in town that believe in Jesus Christ. We're partner with College Side Church of Christ. We partner with Life Church. We partner with Stephen Street Baptist Church. We partner with Poplar Grove Baptist Church, with New Beginnings. Last year we did the Convoy of Hope. We had over 20 churches partner together. We are teammates, and we're locking arms together to lift the name of Jesus Christ in Putnam County and love people like crazy. One of the fun projects we got to be a part of was the city playground, the special needs city playground that we got to be a part of. And partnering together, it was fun to see Ed Malone, pastor of Christ Community. He was there every day. And Ed's, man, he knew what he was doing. I mean, I just sat there and watched. Ed just knew what he was like the specific guy. He knew how to cut the angles. I was like the guy carrying the logs in the rain. That's what they let me do. It was like, hey, Taboo, we need more logs. Okay, that was my job. You know, but they had the engineers and the folks that knew how to put it together. And it was like so many folks coming together from a lot of different churches. And it was cool. And not just churches, but from all civic organizations and different folks in the city. And when you do that, when that kind of love just bubbles all through your community, it makes a statement. Makes this city a great place to live, doesn't it? I have people come in all the time. I was just talking to somebody this morning, just moved here from Michigan, and talking to her. I was like, man, this is a great place to live. I was talking to somebody this week that moved here from another state. I was like, man, I moved here from Memphis, Tennessee, but I think Cookeville is the greatest place to live in America. I do. I really believe that because of the unity of the churches, because of the great attitudes of serving and loving one another. I think we got the best place in America to live. And I just say, when God works in and through you, he'll make a difference in your community. And I see that all around us. And we've got to make sure that we're not trying to take credit. We're not trying to do it on our own strength, but doing it through the power and the work of the Lord. Well, the fourth thing is that all who love and serve God share in the favor of God. All who love and serve God share in the favor of God. Philippians 1, 7 and 8 says it this way. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you. For you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with tender compassion of Christ Jesus. Every one of us in here is partnering in this, okay? For some of you, man, your spiritual gift is giving. And I thank you for your generosity. That's always one of those awkward places. It's like, how do you thank God for blessing your church and thank the people who give the finances? It's like, I can go to you and say, man, you're the best nursery worker ever because I see it. But I don't know who gives what money in the church. It may surprise you, but I never look at the books because I don't want to ever be skewed by anybody because what you give or what you don't give or what I give or don't give. But at the same time, I'm so grateful that you guys give generously week after week of your tithes and offerings. Because of that, we were able to give the whole Easter offering away this year to so many different organizations, and that's just fun. It's fun when as a church you can be generous. And so some of you, perhaps one of the greatest ways you participate in making a difference is your generosity. For others, it's your act of service as you serve each week, week in and week out. All of us are called to do all of the things that we can for the glory of God. Now, I've got a tour, if you would. A tour of just some of the things. There's no way we could have touched on everything. But a tour of some of the things you guys were a part of this last 12 months. And I want you to see this tour. And we're going to take a photograph tour of what God's done. So to start with, this is the youth mission camp last year was Merge. Took over 50 youth last year. We got over 70 going this year. They went to inner city Memphis and did work projects for churches and for camp for the kids, some kids ministries. And this is their picture on the way there. They're tired on the way back. This is our trip to Cuba. Cuba is a communist country, but we were able to get in through a special visa that we got. And three of these folks that were in this, the three on the right, all came to know Christ that day. Many people think it's Roman Catholic, but it's really... it's atheistic because of the Cuban government has not allowed any denomination or any church to flourish over the last 50 years. The fellow with the red shorts on gave his life to the Lord that day that we went to visit. And then the next picture is the team overall as we were having our fun day of relaxation. But it was a great time taking the gospel all over the world. And then we have Bonnaroo. You know how many of you be going to? No, answer that question. Okay, Bonnaroo. We went to Bonnaroo last year. We're going back this year. If you're not doing anything this Friday, come tell me today. I'll sign you up. We go in Friday morning and we participate in the Jesus tent. Now here's what's cool: the churches in that community decided there's 80,000 people that's forming in this little town for Bonnaroo. It's a big music festival, and I know it's hard to believe, but there's a great opportunity there because people are really hungry in the mornings. And so they provide snacks and fresh fruit and water. They also have a phone charging station. And we go in and we just serve. We pass out the food. We pass out the lemonade. And then we have conversations. And I can't tell you how open these folks are that are there. When they give you a Jesus tent shirt. And they're like, oh, you're here with the Jesus tent. Thank you so much for what y'all do. Why do y'all do this? You see, everybody else charges like $6 for a bottle of water, and we're giving it away for free. Everybody else charges for coffee. We're giving it away for free. And they're like, why do y'all do this for free? And we get saved because we're the hands and feet of Jesus. Because Jesus told us to love one another, and you're here in this community, and we get a chance to love on you guys. It's our privilege to serve. And you might think there might be an animosity for folks that have a shirt that says Jesus tin on, but it's just the opposite. We're walking down through the swarm of people at Bonnaroo, and they see the shirt and go, hey, Jesus tent people, y'all rock. I was like, yeah. I mean, if you want to go this Friday, let me know after church. It was really a great time. And then they ask you why, and you get to tell them what Jesus has done in your life. And they're usually like, oh, that's cool, man. That's cool. And so Bonnaroo, you know, it was a fun time. Then we had Man Camp. Man Camp was next. We taught the young boys the essentials of being a man. This is BB Gun 101. And then the older boys, we got Rifle 101. And then Brandon came in and taught us how to make a good steak. It's important as a man to know how to make a good steak. So we trained them on grilling steak. And then this was important training. This was which hand do you hold the steak in when you eat? This is Man Camp Etiquette 101, right? And then Convoy of Hope, again, over 20 churches participated. We came together to serve our community, gave away free shoes, free food, free haircuts, free counseling for women's cancer. And then those that wanted to, as they went to leave, we said, hey, would you like us to pray over anything for you? If they said yes, then we'd sit down and we'd say, how can we pray for you? And these are all the people that want to be prayed for. Over 50% of the people said, yes, I'd like to be prayed for. If they said no, that was great. We said, okay, great. Here's a box of food. Thank you for coming today as well. But it was an amazing time. And then Fall Fun Fest. We've been going there for 14 years, painting faces, giving out animal balloons, seeing thousands. I mean, Fall Fun Fest is such a great thing for our community. And we just go and we give stuff away for free. And again, people are like, wait, face painting is free for my kid? It's like, animal balloons are free for my kid. Why are you doing this? Because as a church, we want to love our community well. And so I'm just grateful for all the folks that have served that as well. And then we went to Kenya. In Kenya, we got to see firsthand what was going on in Compassion International. My wife and I got to serve in a Maasai village, and the picture of all those folks, all those kids are going to school because they're sponsored through Compassion International. They didn't have a school there beforehand. And so we came here, and we invited you guys to participate, and y'all sponsored over 250 kids, providing them education, clothes, food, and the good news of Jesus Christ. This is some of our folks that went through the place. And then, don't let your kid photobomb. It's a bad idea. Bad idea. I did not even see that until actually we were looking at it. I was like, anyway. All right. And then this is Fuse Jr. And one thing you see is you see that we have our teenagers. We have so many teenagers that volunteer to help love on our kids. I'm so proud of our teenagers. They volunteer so well. And then our adults as well with Fuse Jr. and the little guys. And then we move up to Fuse. And this is what your kids are getting on Sunday morning while you're in here. This is Bianco. If you ever see a guy dressed really wacky, he's always the mad scientist or the crazy guy. And then our kids are a part of leading worship for our kids. Lori does a great job of doing that. And then Gail teaches them, or Adam teaches them, or whoever's doing the lesson of the day, teaching them the word. And then for fifth and sixth graders, we have grapple, we have the guys class, and we have the gals. And again, just a way to prepare the children for what God has for them in the future and the good news that we can offer them. And then from there, we go to the youth. And the youth have their own band. They have put together their own band. They lead worship each week. And I'm proud of them in doing that. And then we have small groups. All our teenagers are in small groups. And the Collision Ministry has over 100 students every Wednesday night coming together. They meet for large group worship, and they go do things in our community. I got a picture of them at the rescue mission. They served at the rescue mission one day. They served at Forward Church, cleaning a new church plant out, helping them get going. They serve so much in our community, and we're very blessed for that. And then this is just some of our folks that came out for church work day. I love the fact that they brought their kids. And I still haven't figured out who the guy is on the hill that's trying to make the pose there. I think that's Ferris' husband. Pretty funny. But grateful for everybody that came out and served and participated there. And then this is Easter. If you weren't here during Easter, we had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 24 hours of prayer. And people volunteered to pray during those times. And we had every hour covered with somebody praying and interceding for our city and for folks in the church. And these are the names of everyone on this list of people we were praying for, asking the Lord for them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. This is our mission trip to Oregon. Our Gathering College Ministry took a team up there to Oregon to minister and share the good news in Oregon. And this is them fellowshipping as well and inviting others in to do ministry. And then the Gathering, we go on the college campus. We've got a group that goes on the college. We give out free coffee, free donuts, just as a way to love folks and invite them to come to the ministry called the Gathering, where we have college students that gather together for their own worship service during the week. And then we had Be the Church Weekend. This family served the tables at the Rising Above Heroes Ball during that time. And then we had the cookouts at all the parks during that time, giving out free hot dogs and activities for the kids and partnering together as we served there. And then praying over folks as they had needs and interceding for them. And, of course, face painting. just can't paint too many faces when it comes to kids. They love that kind of thing. This is our Costa Rica team. We don't just minister in Tennessee, but we go around the world. This was our Costa Rica team. That was our pirate, Jim. And this is them setting a tree, and they served the kids. They loved on the kids. There's a great picture of them just serving the Lord and being hands and feet. For a lot of these folks, it's the first time to ever go overseas, first time to ever serve on a mission trip. And so proud of our team that went there. And then we do ministry here locally. This is our Jerry Whitson after school camp we're doing. We did that all week last week, dodgeball, basketball, whatever. And then because it's after school and it's something they have to choose to do, we could also share some truths about Christ as we taught and shared the gospel and fun as well. And then the last thing is kids camp. This year we had 72 kids go to kids camp, and they played everything from octoball to going fishing and catching those whoppers right there, and canoeing. Fun part was tipping the canoes, and then we had zip lines, throwing people off, sliding down the zip lines. And out of all those kids, we had 72 kids go this year. I don't know, 30 or 40 counselors. Out of all those 72 kids, we had 23 make professions of faith, either for the first time or recommitment. Yeah. Why do I show you all that? I show you all that because you don't get to see everything. There's so many stories I get to hear that you don't get to hear, and I wish you could hear them all. We're so blessed with people that have their hands in so many different arenas in our church. And some folks are volunteering on nonprofits that are making a difference. And some are volunteering in ministries that affect the whole nations that are making a difference. And some serve here in this community. And I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for partnering together. I'm thankful that I get to partner with you. I really, really am thankful and grateful. And then at the same time, I wonder if some of you are sitting there going, man, I need to get in the game. I need to jump in and do something a little bit more to be a partner. I want the joy that I see in those faces. I want to serve. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 10, verses 38, start verse 38 and 39. He says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. There is a supernatural favor of God that I don't know how to explain to you, but it's really amazing. You go and you serve for a week somewhere, be in the hands and feet of Jesus, and you come away more refreshed than what you feel like they even got out of it. I talk to so many people so often and say, I get more out of teaching the third grade kids class than the third graders get out of it. I enjoy more being a part of the youth ministry, I think, than the youth enjoy being a part of the youth ministry. And there's so many things that we get to be a part of, and God gives you the supernatural joy when you do it. We were talking about something back in the back. We just started putting on Facebook. Basically, my sermon shrunk down into 5-minute portions. And the folks that are volunteering are serving to do that. And we were just talking, and all of a sudden people start saying, yeah, I've been seeing that. That's really been encouraging. I've been sending that out. And these are folks that serve week after week behind the scenes that nobody even knows of, making a difference. You don't have to be on stage. You don't have to be leading worship. There are so many arenas that you can make a difference. And guess what? They made a believer out of me. That Facebook post goes to over 5,000 people that say they viewed it, which are over 5 times who hear the sermon on Sunday morning. So here's somebody working behind the scenes, doing something techie, and using those gifts and talents and passions for the glory of God and impacting more people, making a difference. How cool is that? Well, there's a blue card in everybody's bulletin. Everybody got that blue card? Pull your blue card. Everybody pull your blue card out. If you come every Sunday, pull that blue card out, okay? I'm going to shoot for 100% participation. I know I'm always going to have that 5% that says, I am not pulling a blue card out. I don't like the color. It's annoying. But I'm going to shoot for it, okay? Pull the blue card out. On the front is your information. You can fill that out. On the back is what I want to focus on. Skip down to the second. It says, I'd like more information. If you'd like more information about those things, how to get involved, you can check that. Matter of fact, Membership 101, I'm going to offer a Sunday class. We're only offering like two of those a year now because we're doing them on Wednesdays. But some people can't come on Wednesdays. We're going to offer 101 class coming up in June. Maybe you're interested in that. But the real thing is I would like information about serving. If there's something in the slides that caught your eye, your heart, that wasn't on this sheet, handwrite that in. Handwrite that in. If you want to go to Bonnaroo, come tell me because I got to send it in tomorrow morning. But if you want to do the car show with us, if you want to do Harvest Fest, if you want to do kids camp, if we got Vacation Bible School coming up, we have like over 75 to 100 volunteers in that. If there's something you want to volunteer in and serve, just check your name and write that on there. We won't like hound you, but we will give you an opportunity if you want to serve, okay? So jot that down. And then prayer request. I don't always focus on that a whole lot, but here's what you need to know. Our staff and everybody in this church can take the time to go on the River app or the River website and hit connect, and you can pray over all those requests. And that's how we find out when people are in the hospital and stuff. And we pray over those needs. I saw somebody this morning at first service, and I said to her, I said, hey, how's your daughter doing? She's doing really well. She's coming out of surgery. I knew about her daughter's surgery, and I could pray for her daughter because she puts it on the prayer request. Okay? That's a part of ministry, is praying for other people as well. So at the end of the service, there'll be a chance to drop that in the basket. But I want to close with this. Many of you are seeing all these pictures. You're hearing what God's doing. But you may be like I was when I was 16. I saw it in other people, but I did not have it for myself. At 16, I believed in God, and I believed in doing good things, but I didn't have Jesus in my life, and so I was doing it in my own strength, and I was trying to live a good life in my own power, and it didn't work. And then when I was 16 or 17, there was a point where a friend of mine had invited me to church, and I'll just tell you, most of the time, I came for the fun. I just did. Either that or a good-looking girl. Okay, just one of those two. And I came to church that Sunday, that night, and they talked about giving your life to Jesus. And that night, it made sense to me. And that night, I said yes to Jesus, and it's changed everything thereafter. If you've never done that, I want to give you a chance to do that this morning right now. If you would, bow your head with me. For some of you that are here today, maybe you've been in church all your life. Maybe you've believed in God all your life. But has there ever been a time when you took up your cross to follow Jesus? When you said, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus, and no matter what it takes, I'm going to put him in first place. Has there ever been a time in your life where you said that to the Lord? I'm going to give you an opportunity now to pray a prayer. You can just pray the prayer after me. And it's a prayer of dedication, a prayer where you're saying to God, I want to dedicate my life to you, God. It's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer where you're saying, Lord, I want to get away from my past and the sins I've committed. And it's a prayer of love, where you get loved on by your Heavenly Father. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or if you just need to recommit your life to Jesus, I want to invite you to pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself following after me. Dear God, today I want to give you my whole life. Today I want to receive Jesus as my Savior and King. Lord, please forgive me for my past. I ask today that you would become my Father and I would become your child. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.